this morning. I want to say thank you for the welcoming and the extended welcomes I've had from your elders and people who've been emailing me and Facebooking me and everything else people have been doing to contact me. I want to say thank you for making me feel so welcomed as your new pastor. I know New Year's was about 2 weeks ago, a week and a bit. Time runs quickly, but I feel it is like a new beginning. I'm coming here for the first time. I'm your new pastor. We are at the start of a new calendar year. And I don't know about you, but around New Year's, I like to have a little bit of quiet time to reflect on what has been in the past and pray and hope for what the future will bring. I don't know about you, but after an often overindulgence of all kinds of food and stuff at New Year's, at the Advent season, we try to focus more on a restart, a detoxing, and maybe starting a new year without some of the bad habits. I'm still not sure chocolate is a bad habit, but I'm having discussions with the elders on that one. Because we as humans are ever chasing to obtain optimal health, happiness and health, being it physical, financial, relationally, and hopefully also spiritually. It's a time where we take an honest look at ourselves and our church family, taking stock of where we have been, where are we now, where have we come from, and the hope we have for a collectively and individual future. Now, I love particularly New Year's because the 1st of January this year, it was 20 years ago since I said I do to my husband. We chose New Year's Day to get married to symbolize that of leaving two families and starting a new family together. We're not blessed with children, but the teens in all the churches I've been to are the extension of my children. So I'm glad that I have many children here in my spiritual home here. But my husband, I think, chose January 1 because it always starts with firework on the 31st of January, doesn't it? And he would look to me and say, darling, it's so good that everybody else is celebrating you as well. And I'll always remember that I have forgotten to buy you flowers for tomorrow. But New Year's beckons new beginnings. And thankfully, God encourages us to be in him a new creation. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. We read in our scripture reading that as we come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to illustrate this Bible passage by a story. It's a true story. But before that, I don't want you to think that because I'm Danish and Swedish, I'm branding the sermon today. But I am going to ask how many of you have been to IKEA. I'm going to ask how many of you love going to IKEA. I see some hands going quickly in the pocket back there, Phil. Maybe I should ask how many do not like go to IKEA. There's a couple. Yeah, my husband is definitely one of them. But most of you are familiar with how you buy flat pack furnitures at IKEA. But not everyone is. Let me tell you about Charlotte. And if anybody here is called Charlotte, it's not you. I promise. Well, I know somebody who calls Charlotte. And for the first time, she's about my age. And about 10 years ago, she went to IKEA for the very first time. She looked through the store and found the table she wanted. She was a bit upset that there weren't many tables to choose from. But she found the one she wanted, started pulling it off the floor, managed to pull it off the floor and onto her big trolley, and started to go towards the cashier's till. She thought people were extremely rude in IKEA. The looks she got were just awful, and people laughed at her and just sent her these weird looks. Once she had gone to the cashier, she was told, "I'm sorry, you cannot buy this. You have to go over to the warehouse and pick up a flat pack of the table you want. So you have to look at the number and go find the number in the warehouse." She's like, well, what am I paying for? I want this table, and how do I know that the flat pack I pick up will be the table I want? She was a bit shocked that she also had to take it home and assemble it herself. She was not a happy English woman, that's for sure. And I can smile and laugh a little bit because as Scandinavian, that's something I've grown up with, and I think it's fun to go to IKEA. My husband doesn't, so. But anyway. But she's quite right. She's paying for something, and she's paying it in flat pack. Does she really know she's paying for what she's getting? It got me thinking about our own individual growth as being shaped into disciples of God. We are each given a flat pack, if you want to follow my storyline here, from God, which I resemble as our spiritual gifts. And it's up to each one of us to assemble the gift to develop who God has intended us to be in his spiritual house. God knows the furniture that you are meant to be. God knows the furniture that is needed for the house of Hemel Hempstead Church. And just like each flat pack is individual, so he has assigned you and created you and given you gifts that are uniquely needed for this church. Gifts that you can build on to grow the spiritual house of God. The question this morning, or early lunchtime, is that will you open your flat pack and start building on what God has already given you? Or will you sit there, look at your flat pack as a spectator, wondering when it will miraculously open itself? The beauty of how God gives each one of us a flat pack is that each individual is given our own. We're given them so we can build the house of God together. That when we come together with all our different furniture, being it lamps, cupboards, shelves, chairs, tables, stairs, whatever it is, when we all put it together, the house of God is furnished. It is equipped not to be on display, but to be lived in, to be used together for the glory of God. It is the beauty of partnering together as a community of believers and not trying to build our own little church, each one of us, with one single Lego block. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Talks to us about being alive, being living. It's a continuous task. It's adding to our lives. We're not supposed to stop, but to keep on building on what God has given us and what God desires for our church. How will we build? Well, just like flat pack comes with assemble guides, which sometimes can be a little bit vague, God has also given us a guide to our lives, which we decide to study so we can understand more of God's desire and direction for us as individual and as church. God doesn't just drop us in it, but he guides us through his word and through the fellowship of believers so that we can together sort out where God is taking this church of Hemel Hempstead and where God is taking us as individual disciples in his home. But sadly, if we are honest with ourselves, and today we are about being honest with ourselves as it is the starting of a new year, well, a week ago, but still. Sadly, all of us tend to get sidetracked. Sometimes we don't even get started on our own building process because we have many excuses. But most of all, if we are honest, it tends to boil down to our own fear. Many of us let our own fear of inadequacy take over and stop us from growing and building what God has given us. But I want to challenge us today to be bold, to face our own inadequacy, and ask God to use us, warts and all. Because he asks us to step out in faith and promises us that he will be with us through our life journey, through it all. He isn't dropping us to sort it out ourselves. He's asking to partner with us that we can grow together as his disciples in his glory. But going back to the Bible, we can see many examples of people who were given what we can translate as flat packs. Some chose to open it, some didn't, some chose to build on with it. And one of my favorite characters in the Bible was Solomon. If you want to follow the story of Solomon that we're going to be looking at, it's in 1 Kings chapter 3. And Solomon was literally given the task for his generation to build the temple of God. And just before he starts this whole building process, he asks God in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5. He's at Gibeon, and the Lord appears to Solomon during the night's dream. And I love that God can do that. And he said, "Solomon, ask for whatever you want me to give you." Now, immediately we think Solomon had many wives. He was very rich. So that must be what he asked God to give him. But it's not. In verse 7, we read that Solomon, he actually ended up facing his own inadequacy, his own fear of not being enough to do this task God is asking. And in verse 7, it says, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count, to court or count. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And God listens to Solomon. God grants Solomon his request and gives him the skill that is needed to build the temple, and then blesses him also with riches and many wives, if that is a blessing. And he blesses him with a long life because Solomon was able to move from realizing and facing his own inadequacy to focusing on the task and the purpose that God is telling him to get on with, and not to be blinded by his own limitation. When we, as individuals and as a church, are focusing on what hinders us to develop God's gift and talents to use for his glory, we get stuck in that unbuilt, unopened flat pack. Now, my hope for us as a family church is that we will be able to move forward and focus on what we can do and let God build what he wants with us and through us. This is an invitation this morning to live intentionally, unwrapping the gifts that God has given us, and start building our identity, our lives, here and in our community. Not waiting for events to happen around us, but getting on with what God has given us to do, to live intentionally. For when we take our piece and start assemble it, there's one crucial thing that we learn from the story of Solomon that is needed for all of us. And that's peace. If you are going to do a task, a lot of times to do it well, we need peace around us. I know my husband and I, when we were painting new houses when we moved in, because we moved about 11, 12, 13 times in our 20 years of marriage. And, you know, we'll try to paint, because I like to have a blue bedroom and the white walls. We look at each other and we're very clear that we have to be in separate rooms to paint because we paint very differently. And we get very irritated with each other and therefore will not have peace to finish painting our rooms. But we need peace when we're building the house of God. We need peace when we're growing as God's disciple in our own spiritual life and not use the boxing gloves that I had for the children's story. And God actually grants peace to Solomon. In 1 Kings 5 verse 4, it tells that, "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary or disaster." Now, when we know our Bible stories, we know that Solomon's father was King David. King David was not known as a man of peace, was he? King David had not seen peace in his time to build the temple. He was at war with absolutely all nations and everybody around him. So God grants Solomon and the Israelites peace to build his house. God gives us peace as well in our church if we ask for it, to build the church that he desires. Let us keep the boxing gloves in the box. Let us come together as a community with our diversity and differences. We are all needed with the different building blocks. You know, the kids were saying, but they're all different colors and they need to move. No, we are all here as God's disciples. And God has given us the diversity to grow together if we choose to keep the boxing gloves in the cupboard. Because it is so tempting for us to keep busy fighting in our corner of the church, being it the theology, being it church practices, tradition, cultural differences, expectations unmet, and the list goes on. And we can say, you know, even the color of the carpet we can have a fight about in the church. And I'm not talking about Himmel Church as such. I'm talking about the church as general. So please don't think that your elders are saying you're fighting. That's not what I've heard. But I'm talking about in general. When we're not at peace together as a church community, we cannot really build for the glory of God. And how then can we be built and shaped into God's disciples, like the living stones being built into that spiritual house that he desires for us? Now, those of us who've been in church a long time and understand, 30 years ago was when Himmel started as a church, about 30 years. How many of you have been here all 30 years or close from the beginning? There are some people who've been here a long time. Fantastic, wonderful. And see how the church has grown numerically in that time. But we can be in a church a long time and still not develop our spiritual gifts. And I'm not speaking about anybody in particular. It is so easy for us to keep coming back week after week and just our dust will build on the flat pack in the corner. So I want to challenge you this January. I want to challenge you to actually start living, continue living. Because the beauty of finding our purpose as Himmel Hempstead Church, our purpose as Christ's disciple, is that when we start serving others, when we start building spiritual homes in the community, we realize that it is through serving others in our community that we live intentional lives that bring meaning to us as individual disciples and to those around us. The skills we develop then become transferable and versatile in a way that God can use us in many different ways. And our response to him, I hope, is going to be open and willing to live our lives full out and not place ourselves or our talents and gifts on hold, but live now, live creatively, and let God take you places you could never dream of. And as Douglas was saying way back when we were students at Newbold, and he was one of the young ones coming in when I was a bit of a senior, we would never have imagined that 30 years down the line we would sit here this Sabbath in Himmel Hempstead Church. Never. When you go on a journey with God, God takes you places you couldn't in your wildest dreams imagine. It's ups and downs, it's hardship and joy, but through it all, God is with you faithfully. He's not the one letting go. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 5 in the Message version reads this so beautifully. It says, that's Galatians 6, verses 1 to 5. It says, live creatively, friends. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. For each of you must take responsibility for doing the creatively best you can with your own life. God has given us a life to live out creatively for his glory. And my hope is that in 2016, we'll see spiritual growth here in our church, that we will live creatively and do the best that we can with what we've been given. And recognizing that it is when we come together with all our different pieces, all our different furnitures, that we together can build and furnish the house of God. For each one of us is needed in this fellowship. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, the next verse, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." When we build our house on the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ, we will build a spiritual house together. So my invitation is for all of us to pick up today's flat packs that we've been given, open it, and let us together build the spiritual house of God. As we serve one another, we will find a purpose and meaningful 2016 as a church congregation, but also as a child of God. Let our Creator God build a spiritual house with all of us, but let it not be a display house, but a house that is lived in, a house of God with all our chairs, tables, and lamps. And we are that living house. And we're going to close today by singing a new song called Cornerstone. And in a little while, Warren is going to play it through once. And I've asked my husband and Kirsty just to stand up here and lead you in the singing, because it might be a new song for some of you. But it just symbolizes very clearly the message that I want to start this new year with. But before we do that, I want to recognize how many are already serving in this church. So first of all, I'm going to ask all the elders to stand. This is the leadership. Look around you, and we have elder on sabbatical as well back there, if you will stand up as well. Then I'm going to ask all, these are the leaders that together we are trying to, with God's leading, help this church to grow. Then I'm going to ask all those who serve as deacons and deaconesses to stand. I'm going to ask all of those who teach a Sabbath school class to stand. I'm going to ask all of those who prepare food or look after our hospitality in the church. They probably are already in the kitchen. One there. Thank you, Sharon. I'm going to ask all of those, I mean, I'm sure there's many other offices that we've forgotten. But musicians, I'm going to ask the musicians to stand. I'm going to ask, what else? All the department leaders, sorry. I'm just, all the department leaders of the various departments. And then I'm going to ask if you said hello or smiled to somebody as you came through the door, if you want to stand as well. This is a church that desires to serve God. This is a church that actively is already serving. Wilma, as your first elder, yes, please come and see the serving church that we have.
Thank you.
I'm blessed by.
They are just beautiful. I want to add somebody else, though. I want to add another category. And I want to ask those who are helpful to stand.
Yes.
Those who see that something needs to happen and they make a point of saying or encouraging. So I expect Joan to stand. I expect you to stand up, please. I want to just recognize John and Jaden, because when I saw them earlier, it was just a joy in my heart, actually. So I'm going to ask Jaden to stand up, please, because I just think this is a very special young man. He has some funny interests in terms of his pets, but we won't worry about that. But I think he's going to do really well in our church this
Wonderful.
Year, so I just want to ask him to stand up.
So when we see that most of our church is already serving, we are on a good track for 2016. And there are many ways we can continue to serve. But I'm going to invite everybody to stand up, and we're going to start singing the hymn, the last song for the. I'm going to ask the two of you just to help lead, because my voice is not a good singing voice. So Warren is playing it through once, the melody, and hopefully you can follow. Thank you. one more verse? Okay, let's take the last verse as well. Sorry. Thank you, Warren, for venturing into that. As we close, it is my prayer that as a church we'll continue to grow this year. That we as your leaders are here to serve you. And that together we can serve our community. Before we go, receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you of his everlasting peace. Amen.